on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the YoteCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How are you? It's our penultimate episode for the season of YoteCast. I'm John Thayer. It's great to have you for this episode. Coming up at the show today, last week we learned all about Ty Morgenthaler, one of the new assistant coaches for Kayla Carius, and this week we will hear from another assistant coach and under Coach Carius' staff. That is Taylor Ignoto. She is new to the staff, has a year of head coaching under her belt. She is familiar with the Summit League. Couple of connections, really, to the Summit League. She was on the Western Illinois staff when they won the conference championship not that long ago, 2016. And then she coached at Utah State under Kayla Ard, who, of course, was in the Summit League as an assistant coach at Denver University. So we will get into all of that coming up in the show today. Well, it has been officially announced. South Dakota wins the South Dakota Showdown Series in the closest margin of victory that we have had in the Showdown Series in its 10-year existence. It came down to the tiebreaker. They put in the tiebreaker of the football game. Of course, boy, you know, back in November when the Hail Mary happened, and you were celebrating, whether you were at the Dome, watching on TV, listening on the radio, however you were following along to that particular game. 1 second left, Carson Camp gets the football, rolls out, avoided a potential sack, and then launches the ball that gets tapped around the five-yard line and into the hands of Jeremiah Webb. The place went crazy. Some people left their seats early. All of that. It was an incredible moment on that November Saturday in the Dakota Dome in Vermilion, right? You remember what you were doing, how cool that moment was. What you didn't know at the time, that 1 second left, that one play would be the deciding factor of the South Dakota Showdown Series. How about that? And this is cool. I think it's cool that it ended up tied. Yeah, you'd love to win every single point. I get it. But it also says a lot about how these two schools compete against one another. I mean, you look back at the points. If you haven't, you can go to sdcornshowdown.com. USD got the first three, two volleyball points and a soccer point. And then the cross-country points went to South Dakota State, and all of a sudden it's close again. Right? Then football gets 2 points for beating South Dakota State. Women's basketball earns a point. And then SDSU gets 3 points by winning both men's basketball matchups and the women's basketball matchup in Brookings. And so we go back and forth. USD gets a couple of points in swimming and diving. The indoor women's track and field championship earned a point. And then it got interesting because SDSU started scoring points. They got a point in men's indoor track and field. They got the softball point. And then you're looking at the final four events left, and it's men's and women's golf, and it's men's and women's outdoor track and field. And if you had been following along, then you knew that South Dakota needed 1 point somewhere along the lines to force a tie and to win based on the tiebreaker. South Dakota State gets both golf points in Newton, Kansas for finishing higher than USD in the team standings, but the women's USD women's outdoor track and field title is the difference in the Showdown Series. SDSU men finished second. USD was third. And so that 1 point, that championship for the South Dakota women's track and field team ultimately sealed the deal. And, of course, the academic points get awarded, which is really, really cool. So it ends up 13-13 and all tied up. And the football, again, football is the difference maker there. But when you look at it, and obviously the sports and the competitions, academics without the academic points in there, 10-10 was the score between USD and SDSU. It's the closest it's been in its history, and this thing, it's amazing. You think about it, 10 years. 10 years it's been happening, and each school has won it 5 times. And early on, it was South Dakota State, right? They won 3 out of the first 4. Then USD won 3 out of 4. Then you have it going back and forth. And so we'll see what happens going forward. But right now, it's 5-5 in 10 years of existence in the South Dakota Showdown Series, which, of course, this year is presented by South Dakota Corn and our friends at Midco Sports. I love it. I love the Showdown Series. I love that the athletic departments are doing this. It puts all of the teams, all of the sports on center stage and gives you an opportunity to be a part of something really, really special. Now, obviously, both teams, both schools, I should say, have sports that the other one does not have, right? Like South Dakota State has, obviously, wrestling and baseball and equestrian. USD has women's tennis. USD has triathlon. And so you get some of those sports that one school has, the other may not. So this is only focused on the sports that both schools have. Who knows? Maybe at some point we add another point in there somewhere because one of the schools adds a sport that the other currently has. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we'll stay right here where we're at and we'll continue to have some of these great competitions because they sure are fun to watch. It obviously it means something to the coaches. Obviously they want to win. The student athletes, they know about the USD-SDSU rivalry, and for those, you know, obviously many of you know about the rivalry in the Division II days. And some said not that long ago that the Division I rivalry just wasn't the same. But maybe, perhaps, we are building back to that D2 days and the fierceness of this rivalry because we're showing that over the last 10 years, both schools being eligible at Division I or since the start of the Showdown Series, that obviously both schools competing with each other extremely well. So, really, really cool to see all of that. Again, we'll get to Taylor Ignoto coming up in the podcast today, but let's get you started with David Herbster. We talked exactly about this, the Showdown Series, caught up this week with David Herbster. David, it's quickly coming to a close, the athletic season for the University of South Dakota. Not much left on the calendar, but as you look at closing up the year and at the end of May, it's always time to think about the South Dakota Showdown Series, and obviously the big announcement this week or the big press conference with USD winning the Showdown Series over South Dakota State. And what was the closest that it has been the entire time? Finished in a tie. Had to go to the tiebreaker for this year's trophy.
Right. It's you know, we put that tiebreaker in there. Not sure if we would ever have to use it. But here we are needing to use it, right? And so, which I think is pretty neat, indicative of the last 10 years of this series, since we've had it, that this one comes down to a tiebreaker and now puts us at five wins apiece in the series. But you think about how much all season long, every team, every season, everything that gets put into it, and you end up in a tie, and what ends up winning it is one play, ultimately boils down to the football win, you know, because the tiebreaker is whoever wins the football game. And of course, we all know that one came down to the last play. So, which I think really, really says a lot about not only how competitive this series has been, but how much every single play counts and how much each and every athlete puts into every event, every game, every competition to get to that. You don't know if that one play is going to be the one that matters. And in this case, it did, as indicative of the game itself and then that being the tiebreaker. So pretty special all around to win it in its 10th year.
And I know that you were probably behind it, but, SD Coyotes Twitter account tweeted out the score, the point standing, showing it was tied. And the football account said, wait a second, what's the tiebreaker? I know you were behind that, right?
Not at all. Not at all. They don't allow me around social media and the other accounts. They just let me kind of mess up my own. but we got some pretty creative folks that like some of those subtleties of social media. But no, I would say I would fess up to it and I would own up to it if I was behind that one.
You mentioned it was five wins apiece, which has been incredible. South Dakota State actually won three out of the first four. USD won three out of four. And I think this is the fourth straight year it has actually changed hands. It shows how back and forth this has been, which is really, really fun for our sports in this state.
It is. And it's, you know, all the teams know going into their competition with South Dakota State what's on the line. And it's a win, okay? So first and foremost, it's a conference win. It's a tournament finish. But in a lot of cases, these are athletes that know each other on opposite sides. So there's bragging rights that go along. And they realize that it comes down to something like this, and there's bragging rights in the state on who wins the showdown series. So this is really their cup, their trophy. And I'm so proud of this group for winning it this year and everything that they put into it.
You know, we got to mention the sponsors. We always talk about South Dakota Corn and just what they mean to the state. And the other presenting sponsor is Midco Sports. And I know they've been a tremendous partner to not only USD, but SDSU and many others.
They have. And, you know, I go back way, way back, probably back in 2007, and having some of our first conversations with them in that football season, our last in Division II. And starting that relationship and trying to get them down here to cover just one game. And the next year is a couple of games. And the things that we went back and forth on just to establish a foothold on them being able to cover sports. It was Mid-Continent Communications, just Midco. And then all of a sudden, after several years into it, it's Midco Sports. And then their broadcast and their production is second to none. It really is. I mean, I rival them with I'll say ESPN, but because I really honestly think the quality of the production rivals that. And it's been really fun to grow with them throughout this entire process. It's really, really special that they're now kind of one of the main sponsors of the Showdown Series.
Yeah, no doubt. And they do a great job, obviously, connecting fans to the student athletes at USD and the area schools. And just a heck of a deal this year to win the Showdown Series in what felt like it was a tight race throughout. USD had that early lead. I know you remember that early lead this year. But State, they scored their points. They made the comeback. But, boy, just enough. What a year. Just a fun overall year.
It was. You and I were talking last week about just what it would take to win. And we're sitting there counting points and who finishes when and where. And, you know, these last 2 weeks or last 3 weeks, I guess, has really kind of culminated into what we thought it was going to happen and where people were going to fall. But you're sitting there counting points the whole way. So, it's one of those that it's special because it means a lot to the teams. It means a lot to the coaches and it means a lot to the athletes. And certainly for our fans, it's a year of bragging rights when it comes right down to it. And I've appreciated the ability to have a series like this, to have a showdown series like this, where you can head-to-head have some of those matchups. Because we know conference finishes are going to vary and, you know, conference championships and stuff like that. And other teams other than us in the Summer League win this and win that. But to have this just to be able to go back and forth between us in the state, that's what makes it special and that's what makes it fun.
No doubt about it. And I guess since we won it this year, we just as well as make it two in a row next year.
Well, you might as well, right? we don't need to transport that thing any more than necessary.
Yeah, no doubt. Necessary. You do it too many times, you're gonna lose the corn out of it.
Well, that, and you know, it's just a very special, fragile trophy. We all know that crystal top on it is extremely fragile.
Yeah, no doubt. Can't have that in the wrong hands of the wrong people, no doubt. But a heck of an effort by a lot of teams to get that 10-10 tie this year, the tiebreaker football. South Dakota wins the South Dakota Showdown Series. David, you look at track and field, really the only thing going on right now outside of some hirings and, you know, athletes coming in and signing to be a part of teams, things like that. But track and field, onto the NCAA West preliminaries there this week. They'll go through the weekend in Fayetteville, Arkansas. These athletes trying to get to Eugene, Oregon. We talked about how special that place is last week, but 22 entries to the NCAA West preliminary. A lot of these student athletes will get their chance.
You know, think about that, 22 entries, and that's close, not almost a quarter of our team made it in. I mean, that's really special, and it speaks volumes to what Coach Huber and his staff have done all around. All the assistant coaches, Derek Miles, A.G. Kruger, Tavasky, and Fitz, and what it overall they've been able to do with this program. That's an incredible amount. And so certainly seeing a lot of those unbelievable performances in the Summit League Championship, certainly with the women winning the outdoor title, the men finishing third. But, you know, we have 8 total pole vaulters going into the West Regionals, the most of any Division I team in the country. So, you know, pole vault U is still in effect, maybe in a rebuilding year, but still in effect. And that's not bad to be in a rebuilding year and have 8 vaulters compete in the West in the regionals. So this is a fun time. If you're a track person, this is really fun. Everybody's looking at times, heights, distances, scores. And it's a really, I know from an athletic perspective and from the athlete's perspective, what an unbelievable experience to be down there and to compete in that type of environment with the opportunity knowing that if you finish, you're moving on to Eugene, which frankly is the mecca of track and field.
Yeah, we wish them all the best. We'll be watching for those results throughout the course of the weekend. Speaking of track and field, you know, you and I talk so much, David, about what goes on the field, the courts and the pool, the track, wherever it may be. But I know you still have an appreciation for the dedication in the classroom, and that was rewarded this week for track and field athlete Jesse Sullivan, who received an NCAA postgraduate scholarship, the 33rd, I believe, for USD postgraduate scholarship. Special thing for him, shows his dedication not only to his sport, but obviously in the classroom.
What a special human being Jesse is. To be the best in his craft in track and in the classroom, and to be recognized as such. And it's one of those things, it's a process that you go through. You don't just have, you're not just good in the classroom and good on the field and actually get the NCAA postgraduate scholarship. I mean, there's a process, there's a review process, there's a committee at the NCAA that reviews all of those. And what this really signifies is, you know, Jesse's one of the best of the best. And I think that's what's so special. Those are the things that maybe should be celebrated more than trophies and championships and showdown series cups, because what he accomplished is kind of rarefied air in that respect when you balance both academics and athletics together. And really, it couldn't have happened to a better human being.
No doubt. Good stuff from him. You know, we're about a week away now from the Charlie Coyote Open in Vermilion at the Bluffs, and I know that's always a big event, and the question the people really want to know, are you on a team that might win it, or are you on hole 12 with a drink stand?
I'm on hole 12 cheering everybody on, providing encouragement, words of wisdom. You know, you'll get probably some of the best swing advice that you can imagine on that course will come right there. Should your shot be poor enough, I can re-hit for you. And the key there is hopefully my shot's not even worse, but it's a lot of fun to get everybody together. It's a full tournament, full field. We have a lot of fun there. And the best part about it is we have teams and our coaching staffs and general staff around the entire course. So the folks that come in on golf really get to interact with the entire department over the course of 18 holes. That's probably one of the changes we made several years ago that's been the most positive, versus just having, you know, a coach golf with one team and you don't ever really get a chance to interact with them. Our coaches love it. They love interacting with everybody. The golfers love it. And the best part about it is all the money we raise goes towards scholarships for student athletes at USD. So it's a win-win all around, even though some unlucky folks might lose their ball in the water, the weeds, or I cough in their backswing.
It's just a golf ball. They make more. You know that?
Yeah, they do. The ones that buy like $2, $3 golf balls, I'm like, guys, come on. I can find those on the golf course. Just get some balls out there and smack them. It's not like that's going to make the difference for the bulk of the people that golf, even though we think it does.
No doubt about it. Well, it is a fun event, and it'll be a fun time in Vermilion. There's no doubt about that. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciated as always.
Thanks, John. Appreciate you, man.
He's David Herbster, the athletics director at the University of South Dakota, obviously doing a tremendous job. And I'll tell you what, give a lot of credit to David Herbster and many, many people in athletics departments, not only USD, but other places as well. The last couple of years have been unbelievably challenging to navigate as an athletics administrator with COVID and all of the challenges and the budget changes and so many different things. And USD's been able to go right through this thing. And obviously there have been some big coaching changes. And that's been, you know, that all takes a toll on people. So out of coaching, we got the coaching changes. We have what the last couple of years have been, which have been nearly a nightmare for many people, right? But, man, give a lot of credit to the athletics administrators for what they're doing, because they are in more meetings than you could ever imagine trying to navigate the safest way to continue to compete and give student-athletes the opportunity to compete and give fans the opportunity to watch them compete as well. My thanks to David Herbster for joining the show as he normally does. One of the new women's basketball assistant coaches is Taylor Ignoto. She came to USD from Utah State, had a couple of other stops in between there as well, including a stop at Western Illinois, of course, coached by JD Gravina, who many of you have grown fond of on the social media channels. How many head coaches in Division I tweet about how many footlong subs or how many yards of footlong subs that they consume during the season? Not too many, probably, but I know many people have followed along JD Gravina, and he has some social media skills, no doubt. We'll talk about that with Taylor Ignoto, but excited to have Taylor as part of Coach Kayla Carias' first staff at USD, and she is fired up to be here. Taylor, I know you've been at USD for a couple of weeks, kind of getting feet wet, settled in. How crazy has the whirlwind been as you try to make an adjustment to a new change?
Yeah, it's definitely been a whirlwind, but very, very exciting. Ty and I kind of came in the same day into Vermilion, and we got here about a couple weeks ago, maybe a week and a half ago. Kind of had one day with meeting the team that morning. It was like 8:30 in the morning, met the team, did a workout with them, had, you know, a kid on campus. Like we were just all in the first day. And then we went out recruiting for the weekend. So it's been fast. But luckily I've done this before. I mean, I've coached at other spots and kind of know how this works. When you accept a job, you go within the first 5 days, probably you're on campus, you're kind of getting situated, you're meeting everybody, you're getting to work. But it's been fun, it's been exciting, and just really excited to be here.
You know, when you jump in, you're trying to get into recruiting and you're trying to get settled in and you're trying to meet people. How do you find a place to live with all that going on?
I think I set apart, well, let's see, I came here for a day. The next day I got with my realtor and tried to find a place to live. And luckily, actually, the second place I found, I got. So it was fast. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you're trying to figure out when you first get a job and you first get here. But obviously, living is a priority. So did find a place to live. Luckily, in Vermilion, got really lucky. And I'll move in next month, June 3rd, I think. So.
Well, you're obviously have had a couple of other coaching stops in a pretty young coaching career, if you will. But start at the beginning. When did you know that maybe coaching was something you wanted to pursue?
Yeah, so I played collegiately. I finished my career at Washburn University. It's a Division II in Topeka, Kansas. It was just, you know, I majored in social work, so that's what I got my degree in. But as more I got into the degree, I was like, I just want to coach. Like, I just didn't want basketball to end. I was getting into my junior year, I think, and I didn't want to stop, you know. So I thought, like, what's the next step? How can I be a part of this as a career? And I just really wanted to dive into coaching, help kids. I mean, there's so many coaches that help me in my playing days, grow as a person, grow as a player, just had a really big impact on me personally and on the court. So I wanted to give back in that way and just kind of connect with those kids and give them something to play for and kind of grow them in their next phase of life. So I wanted to be a part of that. And that's kind of when I realized it, when I was getting near the end of my playing career. I was like, I want to do this for life. So thought, you know, maybe try coaching out.
What was the biggest adjustment for you getting into coaching?
Biggest adjustment? Oh man, that's a good question. I would say maybe just, I mean, there's so many things that you don't realize on the coaching side as a player. And there's a lot of things when I was coaching, I was like, oh, I wish I could go back and go through playing again and you know, do it all over again in that way, because there's just so many moving pieces in coaching, you know, so many moving pieces in recruiting and scheduling and practices and games and prepping for scouts. And there's just a lot of things you don't realize as a player. But when you get into the coaching side, there's so many moving pieces that are into a program and, you know, and that make your program go.
You have ties to the Summit League, spent time at Western Illinois. You came here from working with a coach who also coached in the Summit League. Western Illinois, though, you were there for their successful run, a program that had been building a little bit, and now some of the great players that played at that at Western Illinois were in that time where they were in a championship run. What was that like to be on that staff and kind of see that all come together?
Oh, it was so much fun. I mean, actually, Jada Gravina, he gave me my coaching start. So that was my first year of coaching. So he would always joke, like, how easy do you think coaching is, like, after the first year, because we won the whole thing and made the NCAA tournament. But it was just so much fun. I mean, the staff was awesome. We all were pretty young. I hope I'm still kind of young. I consider myself to be. But we were young. We were energetic. Our players were just awesome. We had a kid named Emily Clemens that was our player of the year in the Summit League. And we had a lot of games just go our way, you know, just end of the game, hit a game winner, or I don't know, in the conference tournament, we hit a shot with, you know, 3 seconds left to get us into overtime. Like, it just, like, momentum was on our side. So it was just a lot of fun. I learned a ton. It was my first year of coaching. I was 23 or 24 at the time. We had a player on our team that was 26. So I really dove in and I learned a ton, but the Summit League, it was fun, you know, and it still is, obviously, but at that time, you know, just to be a part of that staff and just to have a really good run like that when they never had it before, it was a really, really fun year and a really fun 2 years, honestly. I learned so much in my first coaching stop.
Certainly one thing you could learn from Coach Gravina is how to be present on social media. He likes to talk about, he's probably the only coach who's ever shared how many yards of footlongs he's had during a season or anything like that on Twitter. People see that. He's kind of an easy guy to, I think, for fans to cheer for, and he seems like a really likable guy. What is he like to work with? We see the basketball side of him and a little bit of the social media side, but what is he like to work for, a veteran in coaching?
J.D. Gravina loves Subway. If you ask him, like, his top two favorite places to eat, Subway is probably number one. And then maybe In-N-Out, In-N-Out Burger. But, no, he's super personable. He's super easygoing. He loves to have a really good balance. Like, he wants to get to work on the court, but he also wants to go play some golf and enjoy time with his family. So he's very good at understanding the coaching personal balance, but he's great to work for. I mean, he likes to hire people that he can enjoy himself to be around. You know, obviously in coaching, you're around these coaches day in and day out for hours in this small space. You know, you're traveling with them, your day-to-day practices, your offices, your coaching meetings, your games, like everything is in a really small space. So he's really picky on who he hires, and like, he wants to be around people he can be like easygoing himself, and just have fun with. So he is very on Twitter. He does like to have a good time. He's tweeting about the weirdest stuff sometimes, but that's just JD, and people really, really like him just because he's personable and he's so easygoing, and he doesn't take it too serious. You know, he doesn't take life too serious. Obviously he wants to win and have a good time, but you know, he wants to enjoy what he's doing at the same time and who he's around. So he was a good person to learn from, especially in my first couple years. You know, you don't know what you're getting into when you get on a staff and coaching, but he was a guy with really good balance in life. So that was good to learn from right away when I got into coaching.
You learned from him and got an opportunity to get in coaching, and then you've already said you like to still think you're a young coach, which you are, but you've also spent time as a head coach. What was that adjustment like?
Yeah, it was such a good learning experience. Obviously, when I got that job, I had 2 years of coaching experience. So they say you're never ready. That's definitely true. I was really young at the time. I might have been like 25. But it was an awesome experience. And junior college level is obviously a different animal. You know, you're dealing with players that come in for 1 or 2 years and they go on to another program. So you're kind of, and then at junior college, it's funny because you do everything, you know, like I had an assistant that was maybe like a $4,000 stipend, like part time. And that was it. So, you know, you do everything. You're their academic advisor. You're getting them in classes. I mean, gosh, you're doing the laundry, you're figuring out the food, like you're doing the travel yourself. Like, and yeah, you have an assistant that's part time, but how much can they really do when they're getting paid like $3,000 a year? So you learn every single part of a program and how to run everything, like even from like, you know, managing budgets and then like the scheduling stuff, just everything you're doing yourself. So it probably gave me the most experience out of every stop, even though it's a different level. I learned how to dive into like every aspect of a program and handle it, and then be a head coach at the same time. And then you're also helping these women like go on to their next college. You know, you're helping them get recruited. You're helping them find their next home. So you only have them 1 or 2 years. So that was another process that was different. Rather than like you're recruiting high schools to your program for 4 years, you're only recruiting them at a junior college level just for 1 or 2, and then you're finding their next home. So it was just so different, but I learned so much, and it was probably the best experience I could have had, you know, just to learn so much of every part of a program. So it was really good for me.
You came here from Utah State. You actually probably took a lot of that stuff you just talked about and used it in your first year at Utah State in your role there. But the last couple of years at Utah State, Kayla Ard, who had been an assistant in the Summit League at Denver, what was that opportunity like for you to kind of be that next, that step in your career to see, you know, where you were going to go and just really be in that Mountain West Conference?
Yeah, so it's funny, I played in the Midwest collegiately, and then I coached in the Midwest for the next like 4 or 5 years. So to get out west was a really good experience, because you go out there, you make all new connections. You know, I didn't know anybody in Idaho and Utah and Arizona. I'm from Los Angeles, but I had left when I was 18. So obviously I didn't really have a lot of those AU ties that people may have thought I've had just because I'm from there, but I didn't coach in the out west. So I coached in the Midwest for so long that going out to Utah, just making those connections and the West Coast, like that was really, really good experience. There was a lot of new people that I met. You're recruiting a totally different region out there from Utah. Utah State was a unique place because you can actually pull kids from all over the place. But specifically, you're recruiting in like Utah and obviously, you know, Arizona, Colorado was a big one, Nevada, California. So that was a lot different than what I'm used to, you know, at Western Illinois and Omaha, we're recruiting kids in Iowa, Omaha, Illinois, stuff like that. So, the Mountain West was an awesome level of play. You know, this year they had 4 go to the WNIT in the conference, and then obviously won at the NCAA tournament. So really, really competitive league, just a really different level that I had not been used to. So very good experience. It was awesome. And I learned a lot more just from recruiting in a different region and working in a different region. So that was really good. And then the level of play was really fun as well.
You get the opportunity at USD. You go from Coach Kayla A to Coach Kayla K, kind of thing. Little adjustment there. But what attracted you to USD? What made you think that Coach Karius was somebody that you wanted to work for and that this was a good place for that next step?
Yeah, well, first, the easiest transition, like you said, was going from Kayla to Kayla. Like, can't mess up your boss's name that way. Kayla, my boss now, is awesome. I mean, you get her on the phone for 5 minutes, she's so energetic. She's so excited. She's so passionate. She is in it for all the right reasons. You know what I'm saying? She wants to help these young women grow and on a personal level, obviously on the court, you know, in their next step in life. Like, she is just so passionate and so excited, and she's so in it for the right reasons. And that was extremely attractive. I'd met her when I was at Western Illinois. Obviously, that was a little while ago. So I knew her a little bit from that, but everybody just had phenomenal things to say about her. Just said she was such a genuine person, said she was awesome. She's so well-liked in this profession. So that she was so easy to get on the phone with, and she talked to me for 20 minutes, and, you know, I'm fired up. Like, I'm so excited, you know, before she even offered me the job, you know. But she's so energetic, and it's so contagious. She's awesome. I'm so excited to work for her. She's been great. I've been only here for about 2 weeks, and she's been awesome to work alongside so far. And she's gonna be great in this league. She's just perfect for this job. Obviously, she was here in her first stint as an assistant. She came back, but obviously, this job isn't a very attractive job just because, yeah, I wanted to come here to coach with her, Kayla, as well. But I mean, it's just the program speaks for itself. The success here, I mean, they've been so good year after year after year. I think 4 straight NCAA appearances, and then obviously the Sweet 16. So there's just so much buzz and excitement going around this program, and there were so many reasons that this, you know, I was attracted to this job.
It's a program that's been building, and there's been a lot of success attributed to it the last several years. which means pressure builds for that. You know, fans want to see that continue. Does that excite you, knowing that, you know, obviously coming off of the Sweet 16 run is incredible, and that's really hard to get back to that spot. But does it excite you just knowing just the way the program's built the last few years and trying to keep that, keep it moving in that direction?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a little bit of pressure, but it's fun, right? That's why we're in coaching. So, I mean, yeah, obviously the Dawn went to West Virginia. Amy Williams went to Nebraska. So there's been a lot of success. It's a lot to follow up on, but that's what makes it fun. You know, like we're going to keep this thing going. We want to keep it going. We want to keep the excitement around it, you know, and bring in some players and keep bringing in the South Dakota kids and bring in what we have coming back and then maybe add a couple pieces as well, possibly from the portal or wherever. But no, we're excited, and it's a challenge that we're embracing just because that's what makes coaching fun.
Everybody looks at a coaching staff and says somebody brings something different to the table, if you will. What do you bring to this program and this team as part of this coaching staff?
Yeah, I would like to think I'm such an easygoing person to be around. Like I wouldn't say I'm like very a stressed out person, but I'm not also super chill. I'm right in the middle. So I'd like to think I bring some balance to the staff in that way. Very level headed, but just I love connecting with the kids. That's one of my biggest strengths, connecting with the student athletes. Like I just remember being in their spot, and maybe everybody says that, but I just love being around the student athletes and building that relationship with them and connecting with them and kind of being somebody for them to go to. But no, just so excited to be here. I think we're all different. Obviously, Ty brings a lot of coaching experience. You know, he's been around the Midwest for a really long time, and Gabby's been at Butler recently, and she's been coaching for a long time as well. So we all bring some different stuff. But no, just so excited for this staff, and I know it's all completed now, so that's exciting, and we can now get to work.
Well, we look forward to seeing where the coaching staff can take the program and continue all that success. Taylor, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That's Taylor Ignoto, one of the new women's basketball assistant coaches at the University of South Dakota. Of course, was the, I think, one of the first two, maybe the second assistant hired by Coach Karius, and a young, energetic coach that is excited. She learned, feels, obviously, just heard it. She feels good about what she learned from J.D. Gravina. She went to be a head coach. Learned a lot there in a short amount of time, and then went out to Utah State and saw what happens in the Mountain West Conference as well. But now back to the Summit League and the University of South Dakota, and you could tell she's excited to be a part of it. So we'll look forward to continuing to get to know Taylor, along with Ty and Gabby, the new additions for the women's basketball staff. Obviously, last week we heard from Ty Morgenthaler. This week, Taylor Ignoto. If you're keeping track and you're doing math, Gabby Johnson coming up next week. We'll talk to her about joining the staff at the University of South Dakota. Not much going on in USD athletics. We got track and field athletes in action right now as they go through the weekend at the NCAA West preliminaries. And hopefully, cross your fingers, we'll see some athletes get the opportunity to head to Eugene, Oregon for the NCAA championships coming up in the month of June. All right, that's it for me. Have a great weekend. It's a holiday weekend, Memorial Day, so travel safe if you're traveling anywhere. Whatever you do, do it safely. Maybe you're camping, maybe you're boating, fishing, golfing, watching baseball, whatever it may be. Softball it could be as well. Whatever it may be, maybe you're down watching the track and field, but whatever you do, get there safely, get home safely, and we will get through the holiday. And we'll power through one more episode coming up next week. That's it for me. I'm John Thayer. Have a great weekend. Stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Coyote Sports Network.